CliffCentral.com.
All right. Yes. It is Wednesday morning. Yeah, I love making these ridiculous noises first thing in the morning. Of course, I can't help it because that's my body telling me, what the fuck are you doing up? This time, you moron. Well, Ryan and Lebang are in the studio in Johannesburg. Our new studio, which I will be in tomorrow. We've got a couple of really cool guests lined up for you in the next few days. Just get ready. It's all happening. We've been working diligently behind the scenes to make a whole lot of cool stuff possible and make it all happen. And we're going to start kicking those off ASAP. So I hope your day is off to the right start. It is just after 6 o'clock, and we'll get cracking with the rest of the team in Joburg in just a moment. I see lots of people saying, good morning, fellow cult members, Gary. Yes, we are a cult. You know, I've come to accept this. I looked up the meaning of the word cult. It doesn't always mean like religious nutcases who kill each other and end up in sleeping bags with, you know, huge amounts of drugs in their system. Although it could, I mean, you know, we could always prescribe that stuff. I don't see why not. You know, we just got to get a couple of what would you call them? Pliant doctors on board, and then they could just prescribe huge amounts of all kinds of mind-bending and mind-altering drugs that are already on the market. We're not even talking about the illegal ones, and we'll get into that. I mean, I could see us, our cult, I could see us doing that, you know? Oh, no, it's, we don't want Mondays. So Mondays, we will just, everybody will drink and take drugs on Monday, which breaks society or something. at least your ridiculous noises are coming over the top. Mine are coming out of the bottom. Oh, sis. That's terrible, Congo Chris. Congo Chris clearly having some explosive diarrhea at the moment, which is just such a lovely thought. Okay, so many things to get to. Let's see if we can get Lebang on here. Hey, Lebang, how's it?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, very soft. It's still very soft. I'm gonna just put you on mute in the meantime until we figured out what's going on over there. Okay. See, we've got gremlins because we've started to use this new studio, and they were bound to creep in. I mean, we've done a couple of our other shows there already. And, you know, testing the waters, it's been mostly all right, but there's always something that creeps in at some point. We got a lot to talk about today. A couple of comments on Derrida, who's been speaking to the press. He said that 2023 load shedding is just going to be a bleak reality for us. Well, thanks for nothing, dude. I mean, I know that you had to survive a poisoning, but if that was meant to make us feel sorry for you, no. I'm digging deep. It's not happening. Tracy says, started watching The Last of Us on Showmax. Holy shit, it's hectic. So good. Pablo Pascal's brilliant. So what is... Everybody's talking about this show. I need to know what it is. So tell me, The Last of Us, is that some post-pandemic apocalyptic sort of thing? I'm not sure what it is. Lebang seems to know what it is. Oh, okay. Are we ready to go? Let me see if I can
understand. Can you hear me?
Ah,
hello.
Perfect.
Bonjour. Yay.
Yeah, great.
You know, like having a new studio, it's just like teething phases. There's going to be stuff.
Definitely.
That's all. Yeah. Morning, Gareth.
Have you watched the show, The Last of Us, that everyone's talking about? This is about the 20th time I've heard about this show from people.
Yeah, I've heard about it. I just don't have time, but I heard that it's hectic.
Well, all right. Since everybody's being quite useless this morning, I'll just look it up myself. The Last of Us.
I hope it's not one of those like fads. Right. You know, there's always like.
Here we go. I called it. I mean, it's in the title, so it's not like I'm a genius, but American post-apocalyptic drama television series based on the 2013 video game by Naughty Dog. The series is set in 2023, which is this year. 20 years into a global pandemic, caused by a mass fungal infection, which turns its hosts into zombie-like creatures and collapses society. Oh, this is so original, guys. But it's maybe I should watch it before I start criticizing it. Anyway, so Pedro Pascal's like the main
Chris character. Chris is saying it's an overhyped adaptation of a video game. So, sounds legit. Yeah. Like most things.
Yeah. All right.
But we'll see.
Can I talk to you about something? Because you had to go to Home Affairs. I mean, this is how crazy this world is that we live in now. The reason that Lebang was on today and not yesterday is because she had to go to Home Affairs. Because if she travels anywhere with any of her kids now, we've got such a problem in this world with human trafficking and with the trafficking of children that Home Affairs are actually doing something proactive. And I'm the last person who wants to give credit to a government department for anything, but I do think it's kind of good in a world where, you know, there are some sick, sick people who will be trying to buy and sell children and pretend to be these children's parents and will travel across international borders with their kids or someone else's kid, for that matter. And they actually needed to check that you were the parent of your own child so that you could get a visa for the kid, or not even a visa, a passport, right?
Sure. So just to give you a backstory, when I gave birth to my first daughter, I did the thing of not getting her ID right there and then, like filling in the forms with Home Affairs and just doing the process right there and then, because it was just like around the COVID period and it was taking longer. So I kind of like lied to myself and said, okay, I'll just come back and do this part later. And that happened. I kept postponing.
Let's be fair, that you've just had the child and there's a lot of work and there's a lot of stuff going on. And the last thing you want to do is add into you.
Exactly. So I was like, you know what? This part, I'll be back. Anyway, I say that to say this. I postponed for like 2 years. And then I was like, you know what? Now I need to actually get active in this process because I'm trying to put her in nursery school. She's ready. She's 3 years old now. You know, she's talking. She's doing her thing. Now's the time to get into school. She doesn't have an ID number. So
it wasn't
I
even
applied.
For a passport or for travel. It was just for an ID.
It was just for an ID number. And you're definitely right, Gareth. It's quite impressive how hard it is to get a birth certificate for a child post the birthing period. So I went and I had to go back to the actual hospital where I gave birth. And I said, hey, hospital, tra-la-la-la-la, these are the details. Then they were like, okay, don't call us. We'll call you. I'm like, fair enough. My bad. Mm-hmm. They called me about a year and a half later. Literally last week, Thursday, while I'm here at work. And they're like, hey, is this Lebang Khosan? I'm like, yeah, who's this? And they're like, okay, you can come next week for an interview to get your child's ID. I'm like, oh my word, I've been waiting for this phone call for months. So on one end, I'm annoyed that it's taken this long, but I'm also like, okay, cool. I get there. I just walk upstairs. It's like a swift thing. The line was so quick. The interview process itself is a bit of a dud. I sat there and they're like, so you must be the parents. Why did it take so long for you to apply for this ID? And I was like, the reasons were during COVID, blah, 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 blah. They sign, they look, they're like, okay, cool. Come fetch it on Thursday with your ID. And that's it. But what impressed me, Gareth, was that really you can't just go to Home Affairs with a random baby and just apply and say, well, I'm the parent. Can I leave here with a birth certificate? You have to have, you know, your own, credentials. You have to go with the father. Both parents need to be present. If only one parent is present, you need to have an affidavit explaining why there's only one. So it's a hard process and good because human trafficking.
Right. So, I mean, a lot of people would be annoyed. They'd be like, well, fuck you. It's my child. And why should I have to go through hoops like this to, you know, to get my kid all the documents that they're entitled to as a citizen? But the reality is this is not bureaucracy that's trying to make your life difficult. From what I can tell, it is a genuine concern on the part of Home Affairs to try and curb this really ugly business of child trafficking. And you know, unless you've heard that, you'll just be annoyed. You'll be like, oh, another bureaucratic bugger up, you know? So I thought it was an interesting story to tell. Yeah, it is good. And also remember, that birth certificate stuff can end up being tremendously important later on in life. I mean, you've heard how there are still people in the US who are like very skeptical of Barack Obama's birth certificate details because they say he wasn't born here. He was born there. You know, this kind of thing is really important.
Yeah.
So if Home Affairs exist at all, it is to make sure that those documents are verifiable, are correct.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
I mean, I do just from the point of view of like a curiosity, you know, I've got a lot of stupid hobbies and well, I think they're exciting. Other people might think they're stupid, but one of my hobbies is the study of ancestry. You know, where you come from, who your ancestors are.
Sure, and sure.
If you want to claim a certain bloodline or a certain line of descent, not necessarily from anyone famous, but you just want to say, well, this was my great grandfather. In order to prove that, you have to have a birth certificate and a marriage certificate for every person between you and them. Because the birth certificate usually lists both parents, which is what happened to you now. It also sometimes lists who was the witness to the, you know, the birth of the child or who the grandparents are or the godparents or whatever else. It gives you information that's useful if you want to trace your history. But why we think a marriage certificate is important is because in the old days, you were either a legitimate child. In other words, you know, the church had been a part of your parents being together. They weren't just sleeping with each other. And these things are the only proof that you can have that you are legitimately descended from X, Y, or Z, sure. And that you have this bloodline. So when people talk about their ancestors, in order to physically prove it, you can't just go, oh, well, you know, President Ramaphosa's my grandfather. You have to prove it.
Don't be out here claiming.
And the birth certificate is a major part of what home affairs in every country in the world exists for. Plus, of course, you hear these stories about like the oldest woman on earth. You know, you hear there's this lady they found in a village in Limpopo, but she doesn't have a birth certificate. And you're like, what? Because in the old days.
She could be like 70, but she's claiming she's 103.
Right. And I mean, not that the Guinness Book of Records is the most important thing in the world to be a part of, but if someone is claiming to be 70, and they're actually 60. That's a problem. Claiming pensions too early, or they say that they were born here, but they were actually born there. And this is how people fall through the cracks. And then they end up becoming, you know, these outliers. And obviously in South Africa, there wasn't always, especially in rural communities, there wasn't always like a huge amount of proper, you know, notification and documentation delivered. Interesting.
Yeah, I think we still might have that problem. Obviously not as much as we did back then, but like in some rural areas, like till this day, there's a lot of people that just go through life undocumented. And there's almost like an energy of not even needing to go and get it, even though we live in an age and time where you can just go to Home Affairs and sign up. Like a lot of like the people in my parents' generation are just like, I lost my ID many, many years ago. I don't even have an ID. I don't know, but I have nothing and it's fine. They're just simply not interested in being captured like as an active citizen and who actually, you know, does something. They're just kind of floating through life. It's pretty sad and messed up actually, but there's no sense of urgency with regards to getting their documentation in order. And what is the knock-on effect of that? If you don't have an ID, you clearly don't have a will. If you don't have a will, and you just, maybe you've got a house, you're just living in this house by law, like that house, it doesn't belong to you. So when you pass on, what are you going to leave for your children? Your children are going to have these fights back and forth saying, my dad lived there all of his life. That's my rightful house. But there's no documentation, sir. It's so messy.
Well, that's why when people go, you know, like Julius, give us the land. You're like, well, then you've got to be able to show people on some kind of document, because if it's just like what you were told in the kitchen when you were five, I'm sorry, but it's not a legal document. And there's the other ugly side of this is that unless you are registered with the government and you have a birth certificate, they won't know to tax you. And trust me, they want to tax you. Even if you're if you're a child right now, there's going to be a time they'll want to tax you. So
they're prepping. They're prepping the tax money that they're going to take from you as soon as you start working. So that's just the name of the game. I've always said, if they want to give us the land, can they also give us like a manual on what to do with it? Because I don't want to get land and just have this burden of this land and all these expectations. Now I must like turn it into this great farm. I don't know how. Just give me a Bible, like the farming Bible or something.
Yeah. And you know, there are some people who like have farmed a certain piece of land for three generations and they still don't really get it right. So
exactly.
There's no manual. Like, that's a hard job. It's a hard life.
It is. It's difficult. It looks so sexy from the outside because you think, oh, you're making all this bank. My dad has a farm and we'd go there like every last weekend of the month, like literally for the past 20 years. And we are still trying to figure it out. Like it's still, we've got sunflowers growing there now. But like before that, it was just like cattle and we were just like losing money. It was hard. It was absolutely hard.
You don't want it. You know, there's so much about this that is, if people just sat down and spoke about it and didn't let the politicians talk about it, we'd figure out very quickly that we're only too happy that there are these guys who have like 3/4 of the Free State and the Karoo under their control, but they're growing the lamb that feeds us. So when we go to fancy restaurants, we can eat this stuff and they're exporting it to, you know, very, very far flung corners of the world where we get some tax money out of their exports and that kind of thing. So unless you want to do it on a big scale and unless you really want to be a serious person in this, just don't even bother with the land, as they call it. So Bongi says, stay without an ID until Dudula pops up at your front door.
And they don't play those guys, eh? And the TV show,
Kumbule Kaya. Hey! We were just getting settled into our meal and then suddenly at the door. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, ma'am. All right. So the thing, speaking of kids, there was this thing on my neighborhood WhatsApp group, which for my sins, I'm on. So I just have to, you know, sometimes I can ignore it. I didn't even know if some of my neighbors listen to the show. So I've got to watch it because I don't want to unnecessary shit. But
they use this as evidence in their PAC meetings.
I mean, so that now there's a bunch of people and I don't want to call them Karens, but they want to put there's a need for certain kind of obvious things in the estate that really, I don't think you should ever open up to a public vote or a public discussion on a WhatsApp group because everyone wants to have their 2 cents, right? Mm-hmm. There's a one corner that's really dangerous because you can't really see the traffic. It comes from the other side. And sometimes people go around there a bit too fast and all of that stuff. But that's a sensible conversation that you should have. You know, maybe put up a mirror or whatever. There's another conversation because there are always kids playing in the road in this estate. Mm. Okay. And I don't mind because I'm really not one of those grumpy people who moans just because I don't have kids and other people. And the kids will ride their bikes or some of them have those hoverboards. Some of them have, I don't know, you know, little
roller skates and stuff.
All kinds of stuff. And you know, I remember when I was a kid, we were expressly told you do not play in the street. Sorry. Mm. If your driveway's as big as, you know, my bathroom, then tough titties, that's what you got to play in. Or you play in the garden, which most of the houses in this estate have, unless they've built every square inch full. And there are places around that, you know, kids can go and play in. But it's just, this is South Africa in 2023. Nobody has a huge back garden with, you know, a huge paved area for someone to have a skate park in. I mean, unless you are extremely rich, your kids are extremely spoilt. You know, you learn to kind of share some spaces. And I don't mind that kids play in the road. But I think also there's this expectation that everyone else must always be responsible for your children. And this is why I brought it up with you today rather than anyone else, because it needs to understand this. So now there's this poll that they put up, and we must put up mirrors and we must put up speed bumps. And these speed bumps drive me up the wall because they are just irritating. Now, I don't mind. I slow down. I stop at the stop streets and all that shit. I'm not a saint. There are some times where I've maybe gone a bit too fast, but if I see kids, I slow down. Anyway. I said on this group, because they were all talking about, oh, well, you know, kids get hurt and there are kids who've been knocked over in other estates and blah, blah, blah. I just said, look, we live in this beautiful place. There are other lovely open places for kids to play. So it's preferable that they not play in the streets. That's all. If they can play, if they have to play in the streets, fine. But, you know, it's not like we're living in this place where everybody's like on top of each other and they're flats or whatever. Sure. Everybody has a little bit of space. So
did you get attacked?
No, not really. I mean, thank God I don't live with complete morons, but you know, one or two of them were like, yeah, but people must, there must be fines for this one and fines for that one. I'm like, no, there are only three things here. There are three things. Number one, people shouldn't drive too fast. Now, this is like what ordinary adults should be, because you can't expect kids to be responsible for the way adults drive. So adults must drive slowly. They must stop at stop streets. And kids should not be in the street. That's it.
I think those are fair requests.
That's fair, right?
You're not asking for a lot. Yeah. The problem usually happens when adults don't really want to listen to the rules, but they're happy to ship off all the rules to the kids. And you find that that happens a lot. So when you say to your neighbors and to your fellow, you know, community members, guys, what we need to do is to do ABC. They're not interested in adapting to the rules, but the kids have to adapt to the rules. And I'll tell you off the bat, Gareth, it's hard to get kids out the road. They are going to play in the roads. That's just, you know, that's going to happen. It's just about the safety precautions. So put in something like a time limit after 5 p.m., you know, get your kids inside. You know, they can't be out during the night, for example. You know,
Just tell them, tell them that there are vampires, or like make them shit scared of something. I mean, like, I always think that's a fun way. Like, put the fear of God into a child and say to them, there's a old granny in a pram who goes around and snatches children who are in the street after dark. And she will get you. She has long teeth and she has no gums. Her teeth come straight out of her skull. And she's got a stick. And she'll beat you with the stick. And she screams and laughs. She laughs all the time. And she's got gnarled hands with long nails.
She's gonna eat you.
Those kids will stay indoors.
They will. And for the most part, it's the parents that don't want to have to deal with their kids indoors. Because once your kids are indoors, you have to entertain them. You have to engage them. You have to you have to really be involved. And not a lot of parents are interested in that. They'd much rather just have their kids outside playing on the skateboard while they're inside doing their thing. So, I mean, that's a truth that they're not really ready to accept either. But as long as, you know, nobody attacked you in the WhatsApp group, I think you're lucky.
No, I mean, we've always had these conversations on the show too, because I think there's an accommodation that people have to be able to make. If you're going to live in a community, you have to sometimes give and sometimes take. And I'm not one of those people who's going to be like, oh, you know, screw them and their kids. Why should I make accommodation for them? Chris says, the residents who complained should make their properties available for the children to play on without compensation. but that's not it.
You know, I remember one of the first shows I did here at Cliff Central, and I think Mbulelo was still on, and Mbulelo was literally like, there's kids in my apartment and there's kids in the estate, and there's a rule in the governing body that you can't have kids. So somebody brought kids, and we told them, listen, take you and your kids and get the fuck out of here with your kids. I was like, yo.
I remember. Bro, come on. Your impersonation is very good. I mean, that's actually how he said it.
No, quite literally word for word. I was like, who is this man? He clearly has no children. But that was then. So look, to each their own, but just manage your children and teach your children in a way that they won't disrupt, you know, other people's living. If you're raising good kids, you won't have to worry about this. If your kids know that, okay, 6 o'clock, I'm inside. If your kids know that, okay, I see a car, I move aside, then you'll be fine. It always goes back to, you know, what you're teaching your kids.
I love the fact that kids are running around and playing, and you know, there's something happy about like children playing, even if they make a racket or whatever. I'm not one of those grumpy people who doesn't want to hear kids. I'll never forget in Mandela's Long Walk to Freedom, he says that one thing that he really missed was the sound of kids when he was in jail, because that's like it's a joyful, happy sound. And of course it can also be annoying. I'm not an idiot. I'm not one of those people who's like, oh, it's so great when the children scream. No, obviously it's not. But I'd rather have that than like this dead neighborhood where you've only got people who look at each other with like suspicion the whole time. And
a bunch of Karens.
Exactly. We all remember what lockdown was like with people like that. Luckily, in my neighborhood, there weren't too many of them. But I think live and let live. Two of those kids happen to be my nephews. And they have an awesome time, and sometimes they'll come running down the road and visit me, which is cool. I mean, why the hell not? You know,
it's just the innocence. kids just have this innocence. Like, they have no cooking clue how bad the world really is. And you don't want to strip them of that. Let them just laugh and be joyous. If anything, it's a reminder to us adults that we were once those kids. You know, we once were just, you know, so unaware of what it really is out here. We just were living our best life. So allow them to laugh. And if anything, take from that and just forget about your problems for a minute. Like, for me, my favorite part of the day is just going back home and just hearing these little giggles, because all of my stresses from the day are almost instantly forgotten. Literally quite almost instantly. Like, I'm not making this up. As soon as I open the door, I'm like, oh man, my day was so good. Hey, gone. Just gone. Yeah. Because they are so joyous and pure and innocent. And it's the little things in life that really should, you know, spark this great feelings in us. And if you don't have that, then I encourage you to try and check it out. You know, it's obviously nice not to have it like long term forever. It's nice to just like visit and then go back to your real life, but just give it a try. It's a form of therapy, if anything.
You know, the corollary to this theorem is that your kid mustn't be some stupid mongoloid who like runs down the middle of the road in traffic. And when they see a car coming, they go, as the car comes towards them, because then if they get hit, that's, you know, that's just like, ultimately you're just a dumb kid, and someone's going to take you out somewhere in life. You're going to hit your head. May as well be early. So, all right.
Yeah, look, I'd blame the parents.
Oh, for sure. So listen to this. ChatGPT and OpenAI has got the hottest CTO. That's the chief technical officer. Now, Ryan found this picture. So he sent it to me and said, oh my God, have you seen who the CTO of OpenAI is? Take a look here. That's her, right? Her name is Mira Murati.
Okay.
She's like a model. I mean, she's hot.
Yeah, I think she looks a little bit like an AI herself, if anything. Jesus. But like, why is this surprising? Is it like...
Oh, okay. Don't get on your feminist high horse, because we're talking about a pretty girl here and objectifying her. I could already hear you. I can really hear you laying the groundwork, like,
the patriarchy.
I can hear it already. Lebang is like teeing it up for like, she's going to get all the feminists all up tight and come after me. And
are you misogynist?
You know I don't sound like that, Gareth. Your impersonation of me is poor. I'm disappointed. No,
but that is how feminists sound. So I'm half right.
Sure.
Listen, it is always going to be a massive advantage to women, not a disadvantage to women, when men go, oh my God, look how beautiful this woman is. And we're not surprised that the CTO of OpenAI is this hot. But we would think, because this is like a tech nerd, right? And you've seen what tech nerd men look like. They're not attractive people.
Mm-mm. But so when you think tech nerd women, most of them are.
Well, what do you mean most of them? Name one other one besides this one.
Like, I only know what I'm saying is, in this day and age, like the look and feel of what a nerd traditionally was is pretty much switching up. I mean, remember the 90s, like rom-coms, and what Hollywood would feed us about what the nerds look like. They're in their mother's basement overeating. Yeah. Like, that look is kind of gone. You see it now with kids in high school. These nerds are like, they look like, you know, like almost like normal, if I could say, like everybody else. There's no like right. fit.
But
there's no block.
There's still a big jump from normal to outrageously attractive. I mean,
ridiculously good looking. Sure.
You would
sure. No, she's
someone,
very hot. She's fresh.
I'm sorry, but like, you would think someone like this would be working in a front of house. She'd be dealing with clients as sales. See, or because
in a traditional form, sure.
But traditional or not, like normally, this is just a fact, Lebang, whether it's politically correct or not. If you're really hot, you don't normally work as hard because you don't have to. Especially if you're a woman, you get into places and you meet people and you get into situations where your beauty carries you through doors. We've spoken about this millions of times. This is not a big, reason for anyone to be outraged. This is the truth. I know loads of really beautiful girls who've never spent a day reading books or studying.
Yes.
I mean, I also know really attractive girls who have. And
yes,
it's a very refreshing and lovely thing. but just like, you know, a male model isn't likely to also be a brilliant businessman. Only in the rarest of circumstances, yeah, someone so good looking end up also being brilliant at something that is not related to their being good looking.
Yeah, I think that's quite directly linked to sort of like an old school vibe way of like seeing things. And it's still very like, it happens. It's in front of us. There's times where you walk into some offices and like the receptionist is always a 10 out of 10, of course, because as you're saying, the front person, yeah, you know, the person that all of that makes sense. But no more and more, there's kind of a shift.
No one wants to be greeted by a bog troll upon entry into someone's office and someone who's dragging their knuckles and slobbering all over the floor and has, speaking of which, can we just talk about Madonna, at the Grammys? I mean, this is a woman who, look at this. This is who she's, she looks like these, what's this guy
called?
Fred or whatever his name is. And what is that funny little, croissant on the side of her head? Or it's a piece of hair.
What happened? Madonna, girl. Like, clearly she's been, like, Botoxed up, right? Her cheeks have moved, like, 180 degrees north. And I can see that she's just been at work. I don't know what happened. Looks, like, I really, like, enjoy Madonna. Enjoy.
She looks swollen. She looks like she's been stung by bees or something. I mean, no one's lips and her eyes are like
these naturally bees. Like that.
You know, this is an obsession. Now, I know we often, it sounds like we're beating up on Madonna.
Because we do this a bit, though. Like, every time we bring up Madonna, it's never like, oh, look at Madonna. She's achieved ABC. Okay. It's always like, ooh, look at Madonna. Right. She's falling off.
Like, she's putting herself out there. You can't get angry with me for noticing you when you're putting yourself on stage at the Grammys. You can't get angry with me for noticing you when you're putting yourself into really sexual music videos at the age of 69 or whatever she is.
The age of 108.
You can't get cross with me every time and say, oh, well, you're an ageist, because that's not true. She is doing all of this stuff for attention. And then when I notice, I must shut up and keep it to myself.
No, look, she's putting it out there because she wants people to notice. And we've noticed, Madonna, we know you're listening and thank you. Now we know that this is what's going on with you, but we're going to have an opinion. And this is Gareth's opinion. He thinks that you're not doing so well. Please back to the drawing board, Madonna.
No, don't worry about who's expressing that opinion, because I'm not important to Madonna and I don't think I'm important to Madonna. Congo Chris sent this meme of like the Muppet, and then, you know, that's what Madonna's like. She's like, she has there's no facial structure going on anymore. It's artificially reconstructed. It's like a new scaffold has been put in underneath and it just looks freaky. I'm sorry. It's not good.
It's not a good look. It's not a good look.
You know, and for those people who are like going to jump on the like, but that's typical of a male that would say that. But I mean, we've spoken about, what's that? Nick Nolte. Have you seen what that guy looks like? He looks like shit as well.
Yeah. There's even some guys that have just completely fallen off when it comes to this plastic surgery, whatever, botched gone wrong. I mean, there's shows literally on like DSTV. What's it called? It's like Botched or something, where people do these Botoxy vibes and it literally just does not work for them. So it's not just a woman facing thing. It's men as well. And it's usually like after a certain age, especially if you're in the spotlight, if you're once this crazy celebrity who was hot A-lister, you know, now you're struggling to keep that relevant. So you'll do literally anything to remain relevant and to still be, you know, talked about. There's always going to be someone hotter than you. There's always going to be someone younger than you, and there's always going to be someone more talented than you. Just accept it. And what are those awards that they give to old people? Lifetime achievement. Just take your award and keep it moving, bro. That's all. That is all.
There's something about, Madonna. Something about like, so Barbara Walters died in December. Okay. Most people, if you die in December, most people kind of get back to work the next year and they don't remember that you've gone. So many people maybe, like waking up to this news today. Barbara Walters, the reason I bring her up is because she was on The View for many years. She was the main player on The View. I think the show was her invention or whatever. I don't know. She's been she'd been a broadcaster for many years and she was already in her, I want to say 80s, but could even have been late 70s, which, you know, these days that's great if you can work up to that age. And she started to get like a dementia and, you know, she wasn't coping. And so she did this incredible thing, which so few people in the entertainment business can do. And look, you know, 80, whatever is a, so that's an advanced age to retire at. But Barbara Walters, and when she decided she didn't have her shit together anymore, you know that she retired? She never, you never saw her, never went to any event again. She didn't leave her house. You didn't get like sad pictures of her at the supermarket, forgetting why she was there and walking out with an empty bag or pushing a trolley aimlessly around a shopping mall. Or, you know, she obviously had a lot of money. So she had people who could do all her things for her, and she stayed out of the public eye. And for about, I think, 5 to 8 years, she just lived out quietly the rest of her life. I don't know if her, you know, brain was severely addled and she didn't know what was going on. And maybe she, you know, maybe she was in a really bad way. But I think there's something so dignified about stepping away. Maybe she spent time with her grandchildren. We don't know. Maybe she was fine until the end. But it's none of our business. Like, she no longer needed approval all the time from strangers. And it's sad, you know. Madonna's kids are now in their 20s, and they're going to start bringing home girlfriends and boyfriends, and you know they're going to say, "This is my mom." And instead of her like saying, "Oh, would you like to come inside?" and "How nice to meet you," and the kind of thing that anyone would want their mom to do if they brought someone home to meet them, they'd be like, she'd be like, yeah, come and check my new fucking crotchless panties. Ah, fuck yeah. You know, and you're like, well, listen, granny, I mean, you're cool. She's definitely cool. She's Madonna.
Cool, gran.
But like, it would be nice if you said, "Oh, would you like a cup of tea?" That's kind of what you want from a gran.
I mean, Madonna would probably offer you like a joint or something. Like, she doesn't seem like the type to offer you tea. But you're definitely right. There's a level of like nobleness that comes in just like walking away, being able to identify what time it is, being able to read the room in the sense, like, the room is your life right now. I can see where I am. Let me take a step back and really live. Now's your opportunity to live. You know, imagine being in the spotlight all your life, Gareth. Like, you spend very little time actually doing the daily little things that matter. You do a lot of the big things.
Yeah.
So I love that you bow out so gracefully and say, "You know what? Let me just sit now and be still." Ah, I just think that is just like so dope. It's precious. And yes, Donna.
Oh. So someone says here, Mongezi says in the comments, "Gareth, would you do Madonna?" I mean, first of all,
come on.
I don't think Madonna has any interest in doing me. So let me be clear about because you know,
Mongezi, you know, would you do Madonna, Mongezi?
but the fact is, like, up to probably about 8 years ago, my answer would have been a definite yes, right? Because, I mean, this is like one of the greatest artists. We were talking about this yesterday with Mash, because everybody's talking about Beyonce and all the Grammys that she's just won. You know, like, Madonna is a big superstar, a megastar. And even if she behaves like a, you know, an ungraceful, aged, elderly teenager now, that's still okay because she is different to the rest of us. Like, you know, Michael Jackson was never going to, he was never going to become like an old gray man who, he was going to burn out. And same with Amy Winehouse and Elvis and all of these people. They were never going to be grandpas and grandmas. There's no guidebook to pop stars and rock stars becoming old. You know, Ozzy Osbourne had to make this big announcement last week. I'm going to retire because I can't, my fucking knees don't work and everything's broken and fucking Sharon's not around to look after me the whole time. So, you know, like, the Ozzy Osbourne's is a really old man, but he was still touring up to like last year.
And he that man up is tired. That man to be tired. There's no way. There's absolutely no way he's not tired.
Mick Jagger and Keith Richards, in the meantime, are partying up every weekend, and they show no signs of slowing down. The Rolling Stones are still touring, which, good for them, right? I mean, good for them, good for Madonna. To go back to your question, Mongezi, 8 years ago, I would have said absolutely. With this look that she's got now, I'd be too frightened to, you know, if to be in a room and she like crawls in there on all fours, Never. I don't know apparently, how she moved around.
Apparently, Madonna was like hooking up with Tupac at some point. So yes, look she, at it that way. Also, that's how long she's been in the game. She hooked up with Tupac, bro.
Who died? She just who died in the 90s. Right? He was killed in the 90s.
Exactly. Look at it that way. So Madonna can just, we can put a handbrake up on that one, you know.
While we're talking about these, because we never talk about celebrities in this show, hardly ever. It's not a major topic of conversation. So can I ask you, as a proud feminist who's against the patriarchy, let me ask you about Leonardo DiCaprio.
And the child that he's dating?
Okay, hold on. Hold on. Oh, so he's dating.
My.
He's.
Yes.
He's dating a 19-year-old. She's 19.
Yes. Yes. Okay, how long have you been dating?
But he's Leonardo DiCaprio. Someone says, I'm too old for Madonna, which is probably true. Leo DiCaprio is, 48 years old. So he's older than me even. Okay. Yeah. And he's dating a 19-year-old. Now I feel bad if I even look at a girl who's less than 25 years old. 25 is honestly absolute even to look at. Now, you have to do the half. What is it? The half plus seven rule. So for Leo DiCaprio, sure, what is morally acceptable is 24 plus seven is 31. He cannot, just by the conventional rules of society, date anyone younger than 31.
So but Leo has made it quite clear. He put out a PSA that he doesn't even look at anyone under 25. He's actually said it with his own chest. And for years, Gareth, this is not new. For years, Leonardo DiCaprio has only been involved with these young women, right? Mm-hmm. And what's the trick here is that he doesn't engage them when they turn 18, 19. 18, 19 is the point where it becomes public. He's been in relationships with these women. That's why it's made up. It's like, you didn't just meet Leonardo DiCaprio last night and then today's your 19th birthday or your 18th birthday. He started courting you when you were 14, 15, 16. You guys have been dating for a while and now you're making it public only now because you're legal. This is absolutely sick. And I'm not doing the whole feminist, I'm just doing the whole, this is real lying. You know, like I'm a mother of three daughters. This is disgusting. Why are we letting Leonardo get away with this?
I brought it up because I'm interested in how people are interpreting this, because now everybody in Hollywood is on the, oh my God, what the hell's Leo DiCaprio doing with a 19-year-old bandwagon?
It's not new. He's been, and they've just been letting him do it because it's Leonardo DiCaprio. Nobody's saying anything. Nobody's, you know, like speaking on it. It's almost just like, because it's Leonardo, you know, we're just going to let him do his thing in the background. Let's not make too much noise about it. You know, we need him for great movies. No, he is literally just like messing these young women up. He's fucking with them. Excuse the
pun. Oh, come on.
But it's just wrong.
Are you kidding me?
It's absolutely wrong.
Suddenly they have no agency. Suddenly they are not in control of it. Suddenly he's a predator because, of course, a 19-year-old girl can't possibly make decisions about anything except voting, having a driver's license, being able to go out on her own anywhere in South Africa or America at night, being able to marry, being able to have children. We have girls who are in high school in South Africa who are getting pregnant. Of course, we don't want that to happen. But we seem to think that a 19-year-old who's encountering Leo DiCaprio, in other words, to bump into him is not something that happens at a seedy local pub.
Sure.
Are we just going to pretend that these women have no agency at all? That it's totally Leo that's being a creep?
Again. Or so what I'm saying. No. What I'm saying is, sure, the girls also, you know, have their reasons. They should be standing up for themselves, blah, blah. Most of them won't. It's Leonardo DiCaprio. What I'm saying is Leonardo DiCaprio, most of the time, he doesn't approach them at 19. Gareth, he approaches them when they are a lot younger. If you read up on, I think I read an article like 2 years ago on this, so that by the time they turn, they become of age, it's pretty much too late. He's exactly what someone's saying in the comments. This is R. Kelly all over.
They've entered the Leo DiCaprio sausage factory of girlfriends. Okay.
Bro, look, get them while they're young. Groom them so that by the time they're older, it's too late. It's nonsense.
I don't think it's appropriate for a man in his 40s to be dating a girl who's 19. He's almost 50. He's 2 years shy of 50. It's not right. But all through human history, including some of the most powerful, influential, and famous men in history, A lot of these guys have been dating and been married to girls who were significantly younger than them. All right. I'm not defending it. I just think this, a 19-year-old girl has as much age. She can always say, no, Leo, I don't want to date you, you creep. But instead, everyone else in society like says they'll do it for her, which is not their business. And also, if Leo DiCaprio is a creep, which I'm willing to believe he might be, then maybe the embarrassment and the shame of everybody talking like this about him will stop him from doing this. But maybe he doesn't give a fuck because he's a famous Hollywood actor who looks better at 48 than some people I know who are 23. He looks better than them. He's got tons of money. Yeah. He's this environmental crusader. And he clearly has a lot of friends who say, ah, it's just Leo, let it go. So you tell me what's right here. I mean, do we want the cops to go and arrest Leo DiCaprio for doing something where he hasn't broken the law? Do we want them to arrest this girl because she's cavorting with some 48-year-old? What do we do?
Cavorting. The point is, sadly, nothing is going to happen. Leonardo is just one of many famous people, connected people, rich people who can get things like this just, you know, not even spoken about in the media. I mean, if you look at what happened with Epstein, he was just one example of tons and tons and tons of rich, powerful, wealthy people that do whatever they want to these young women and just kind of continue on with life.
That's why you had to register your kid with Home Affairs, because Leo DiCaprio will otherwise come knocking. Yeah.
I'm just saying that in a world where all this stuff is just continuously happening, at some point we have to just sit and ask ourselves, like, how is this having a positive effect on the direction that we're going as a world? It's almost like, yeah, well, because, you know, our lives, only when it's like somebody that you know, then you want to start getting moved. And you're right, Gareth, nothing's going to change. Who are we? It's Leonardo DiCaprio. Sure. There are victims that we're speaking about that are currently under duress because of this. There's girls who go on movie sets who think they're about to, you know, get big break, and they get assaulted by these guys. And we're just sitting there saying,
listen, let me tell you, I think Hollywood at the moment is one of the safest places in the world for young women because Harvey Weinstein is in jail. And, you know, here's another thing.
Oh, that man's gone. That man is dead.
No guy in the movie business right now is going to risk anything. I'd be surprised if women on set even get a man looking at them these days, because there must be such tension in the air and there must be such fear from these guys that, oh my God, I don't want to be put in jail like Harvey. And by the way, Harvey Weinstein would not be in jail. I don't believe he would be in jail if he was better looking, but he looks like that. He's a hideous looking man. That's why he's in jail. To go back to our point about the CTO of OpenAI, she'll never get locked in jail. She could be a big sex predator. We don't know. She could be out there with kilometers of dick and no one will arrest her. She's not going to jail and no guy would hand her over. She's the CTO and she told me if I slept with her, I'd be able to design the next big project at OpenAI. Any guy who got the great good fortune of sleeping with the CTO of, and who knows, she might be married. I might be right offside here. But if she walked into my office, said to me, hey, you puny engineer, I want to promote you. But if you want to be promoted, you have to sleep with me. I'd be like, done and dusted anytime you that want. Happens. I will never become clingy. You can use me like you would a cheap tool in your shed. I don't even need the job promotion. I'll come to your office on Thursdays at 3:00. Whatever you want, lady. Whatever. And I'd
that
never
happens
complain
like all the time, every day. It's really nothing new. It's like a second age old, thing that happens in the workplace. It's, you know, and life goes on. Life goes on. People complain about it all the time. Some guys complain about it.
What guy complains about it? No, if this woman walks into my office, who complains about that? If a guy was propositioned by her and she was the boss, there's no guy that'd say no. And there'd be no guy would turn her in either. No guy would go to HR and say, oh no, you know, I was hit on by that super hot fucking OpenAI director of technology or whatever. They'd be like, thank you, Jesus. What fortune has befallen? How did little old me deserve this? Ah, cuck. You know, and the other thing, if she looked like Harvey Weinstein, she would go to jail for propositioning the first guy. The only reason those, this is going to be the most controversial thing I say in this hour, and we've said a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason that those women went to the police or started telling their Me Too stories is because they were frankly horrified by this monstrous man. Don't. If Please he was don't. A good looking man and he did that, they would never. If it was Brad Pitt or Leo DiCaprio, they would have said, I was propositioned by Leo DiCaprio. Woohoo! Same with the guys. I'm telling you, Lebang, we don't have to agree on it. That's my point of view. I think if Harvey Weinstein wasn't this sweaty, fat, ugly, balding, old, gross producer, none of this would have. They wouldn't. They'd be like, ah.
Yeah, you're actually giving me like a great idea for a topic for my show. I'm actually quite interested now to do a little bit more research on these kinds of settings and just to see how many people have actually experienced this from both sides. And then we can actually unpack the facts because I truly believe what a person looks like, what they smell like, all of that has nothing. It really is just what they can get me in that moment. If I want to become famous and the only way to do that is by sitting on your lap, then that's what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to do it, right? Right? This is literally what these girls go through when they're much younger. Into the industry. I mean, you know how it goes, Gareth.
There were some women who said no to Harvey Weinstein. Let's never forget that. And those women are brave and they did the right thing. What I want to know is the names of all those little Hollywood starlets who are not telling their story because they got their Oscar, they got their role, and they're not going to split on anybody because they don't want to be called, you know, X or Y because they're quite proud of their trophy on their shelf. I want to know those people's stories. And there's also this, like, you know, the fact that everybody has an opinion on this and we don't actually know what happened in the room and that this creepy Harvey Weinstein, he settled most of these cases out of court, right? And he still went to jail. That's got to mean he's a horrible human being. I'm in no way saying that this guy is a good person or that we need more people like Harvey Weinstein in the world. But I do think that everybody is such a hypocrite when it comes to this stuff. I mean, here, for example, finally, Elon Chief Twat says, Gareth, it is different when women are predators. It's kind of sexy. You see, there's this thing, the difference between men and women. I think Leo was rejected when he was young and has always said he'll date someone younger. Look, we can look into the psychology of this. J-Lo dated
trauma.
Her young male dancers. So did Madonna. This is a kind of behavior. Michael Jackson wasn't famous and ridiculously rich. All the stories of abuse, grooming, etc., would never have happened. Take fame and fortune out of the story, and there you have your answer. I mean, we know abuse in South Africa
of power, abuse of power. That is literally
It's not just abuse of power. So you know what? The worst thing that could have happened to a woman who said no to Harvey Weinstein is she might not be an actress. She could go and work in any other business.
She can't do anything. Her dreams will be shattered. Everything she spent her whole life building, she can't do that. Now she has to find something else because one man decided, well, you know what? You're not going to give me the coochie. You're not going to.
How? If you have principles, if you won't sleep with someone because you have principles about it, doesn't matter what they look like and you're not going to fall for that nonsense. And you would give up your career rather than give up your principles. Cool. I have the world of respect for you. But don't complain to me that, you couldn't chase your Hollywood dream because of this creepy guy. I mean, I'm going to have sympathy for you, but not as much sympathy as I do for a woman who's trapped in an abusive marriage in a town. She's nowhere near her dreams. You're still earning millions as a Hollywood starlet. And oh, shame. I'm going to now have to take time out of my day to feel sorry for you that because you didn't sit on Epstein or Weinstein or one of their laps, that suddenly your life isn't so great. You didn't get your dream role. There are other people who deserve my pity a whole lot more.
Yeah, I agree partially in that if that happens to you, then you shouldn't be like stopping and saying, oh, look at me. This is what happened. Take that energy and continue anyway. Still get your dreams. Still go for what you want to do. You do your own films, blah, blah, blah. Find a way to still get to what you want to do. Use your story as a testimony. If you're going to sit and use that as like a pity party, whatever, then you're not going to get our attention. But the mere fact that layer exists in a thing like Hollywood in that kind of organization. I mean, they control everything entertainment. You literally get blacklisted and you can't do anything after that. Those industries are so small. that it's almost hard to even try and step out and be independent. So I guess on that front, there's not much that anybody can do if that's the situation, but don't use it as like your backbone and your life story. Now it's like, oh, well, the reason why I never popped off is because I refused to suck A and B's dick. Continue on and get your dreams. If it's meant to be, it'll be. It's just shitty that we, as women and you know, as people,
how about a little applause from the back of the room for those women who did suck that disgusting dick of Harvey Weinstein? How about a little respect for them? Because they actually, they went through with it. They were the ones who actually did the dirty work, the heavy lifting, so to speak. How about some applause for them rather than sympathy? Because my God, that would take a huge amount of self-control to not throw up. What an interesting conversation, huh? We started this on.
Dude, it's so early in the day, right? Look at us.
Oh my God. There's so much I still want to talk about, and you want to get into this thing with people who drive with dogs on their laps because.
Like, can I just make a PSA? Yes. And this is really just for all the dog lovers and dog owners out there. Please check your people. I'm sure you guys have like committees and Facebook groups and WhatsApp groups. Like I saw a guy the other day while I was driving my kid to school. He's in front of me and he's really like driving like a little bit sketchy. I'm like, what's going on with this person? He's braking when he shouldn't have to. And it's load shedding. So the robots aren't working, but he's just not paying attention. I can see something has his attention.
Yeah.
Then I go like, I overtake him. As I'm overtaking him, I look to the side and this dude has a dog on his lap. I'm like, okay. All right. So this is what we do now. Is this the latest thing in fashion? What's happening?
You know
can
what?
Can you explain, Gareth? Your peeps.
No, hold on. It's not my peeps. I mean, there are lots of people who have dogs who I would not regard as my peeps at all. There are lots of people who have tigers that I don't regard as my peeps. I'm not going to speak on behalf of dog owners. You know, the same as these parents who let their kids frolic around on the front seat without a seatbelt or whatever. And you got these toddlers playing in the footwell of the passenger seat. I mean, you know, when bad things happen, you and your precious dog are going to be killed. So don't be stupid with your dog sitting on your lap when you're driving.
It's ridiculous.
And my dog does try to get onto my lap when I take her in the car somewhere. I don't take her to places often. I'll take her when she has to be looked after by someone else in the family. That's pretty much it. And I'm very aware that like this is stupid and irresponsible and you shouldn't do it. And I try to discipline the dog and normally she listens to me. But I mean, it's like parents. You're going to let your kid play on the front seat when one day bad things happen. It's not going to be everyone else in the traffic's fault. It's going to be yours.
Yeah, I think just be more responsible. You know, when you're a driver, you're not just driving for yourself. You're literally driving for yourself and all the other vehicles on the road around you. I just found it was so irresponsible for that person. And honestly, I'd never seen anything like that. I even tried to take pictures of him and he was like trying to hide. It was this whole thing because I was really like surprised that we're still allowing this nonsense behavior. Just
you were trying to take pictures of him. You were like, being a Karen. You were like, I'm going to report you to the police.
You're putting me in danger. Abuti, you are putting me in danger. I'm trying to get my kid to school.
I'm on his side now. You're a Karen. I'm sorry.
I'm going to take a picture of you with your dog on your lap.
Yes. Let me check if I even got any good shots. Yeah.
See, that's like me complaining about all the kids in the street every day.
And your kids must get out of the street.
Do you know, every time I switch on my Karen, shit gets done. You remember my bank story? I went to the bank and they were just like ignoring me. As soon as I put on my Karen, shit got done. Karen
I'm not saying Karen isn't necessary. And frankly, I think we've both discussed this and said that if our politicians were Karens, we would have a very well-functioning but rule-bound society. I mean, you imagine some of these Karens, including you, if you got too much power, you'd be incorrigible.
Oh, no.
You'd be so dangerous. I mean, can you imagine all the rules you'd make for everyone else? You would be a super Karen. You'd be like, no, you cannot actually walk on the left-hand side of the road if you're a pedestrian. You must be on the right. And if we catch you on the left, we're going to fine you 10,000 rand. That's what you're going to be like if we give you power. Mayor of Johannesburg. Your lawn is this short, not that short. Your lawn's too long.
Yes, no more than 10 centimeters. If we find out that your lawn is more than 10 centimeters, we are going to call, we're calling the police, okay? We're calling them. That is literally how I'm going to go about it. Yeah. Oh, I just got a notification, Gareth. My kid has left home. Ha ha.
Oh, is that
what you day. He's on his way to school.
You microchipped your kids?
I microchipped my kids, bro. You know how it is.
I can see you like storming into Leo DiCaprio's bedroom and like, show me that girl's birth certificate right now. Otherwise, I'm going to arrest you both.
Exactly. Exactly. No, like real talk. Real talk. You just need to know like where all your right. kids are at all the time. That's it. Don't you have like a tag on your dog has like a tag on her neck, right? Like with her name and like, you know, her address, like you're the owner.
She is microchipped. She was microchipped before I even got her as a puppy. So
there we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
So you can microchip your kids. Absolutely. Make sure they're not at Leo DiCaprio's house. All right.
Please.
It's unfortunately we have to stop here. I've got a really interesting interview with Brian Habana. Now, you might have heard him on the show last Monday, and it was awesome having him there, but I sat down with him for about an hour after that, and we had the most amazing conversation. You know, I know nothing about rugby, right? Nothing. Zero. So when I sat down and spoke to him, we were going to talk about everything except rugby. And there's in this entire hour of discussion, there's probably like 2-3 minutes of rugby. And the rest I think you'll find fascinating because I don't know the first thing about rugby. I wasn't going to sit and interview him about what position he played and what team and blah, blah, blah. So this is going to be lots of fun. Take a listen. It's coming up next. Don't go anywhere. And by the way, people are saying you're basically like a Jacinda Ardern. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. CliffCentral.com.